Let me tell you something. I love new things. They don't have to be brand new. They just have to be new to me. So that doesn't matter whether it's shoes. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's a new thing to me, I love it. All right. Is there anybody else like that? I get on Facebook. I look through the marketplace and look for new things. When I go to the store, you know, Kmart is going out of business. I go over there and get new. Yes, I saw that and I hear that hand. I'm telling you, new things makes everybody excited. This morning, as we journey together, I believe that God has a word that's a new thing. I'm reminded of a passage in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, and it simply reads like this. It says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" Now, if you're from the Pentecostal church, that's all you have to say. It's like, thank you, Jesus. Everybody takes off running. The band strikes up, and it's just on from there. And then you go over to your neighbor, and you say, "Won't he do it?" And then they go, "Won't he, Willie?" And I'm telling you, it just, because everybody wants God to do a new thing. Everybody wants God to do a new thing in them, in their bank account, in their family, in their lives, in their marriage. I don't think if he walked down the aisle and approached any of us, we would resist a new thing when he offered it to us. But the new thing comes with some responsibility. And so I want to tell you that this new thing will interrupt the old thing. That you can't even begin to walk into the new thing that God has called you to if you're not willing to release the old, to step into the new. But not only will this new thing interrupt the old thing, this new thing is going to stretch you. It's going to cause you to grow up and grow out into some things. But if you want the new thing, it's worth it. This new thing, it's not just for you. It's for those around you. It's for those you will meet and for those who need it. This new thing isn't new to God. I love this point because a lot of times we think that when God says, "I'm doing a new thing," it's an idea that he just thought up. But the word says, he says, "I know the plans I have for you." I just imagine God going, "I know the plans I have for you. They're to do you good and not harm, to give you a hope and a future." But for every new thing, we must partner with God to make it come about. If we think for 1 minute that this new thing that God is proposing to us and providing for us can be done without us, then we've missed the purpose of the new thing. You see, God is so good that he can do it without us, but would prefer to do it with us. And so today, I really believe that God is giving all of us an invitation to do and be a part of this new thing. But the way that he's going to do this new thing may not be familiar to many of you, but it is familiar to God. When I was praying about this message and I asked the Lord, "Lord, what do you want to do and where do you want to go?" He said, "Tell them that I'm going to interrupt their lives. Tell them that the interruption is going to come in the way of a new thing, something that they may not be anticipating or expecting." Now, if you're like me, your flesh is like, I think I want it, but I'm not sure. Because human nature sometimes resists what God wants to do. But if it's to be done, the flesh has got to submit and the spirit has got to be present. Let me take you to Romans 8. I'm going to walk you through these passages. I wish I could cut it back, but I feel like this is a meat platter. Take from it what you can. Grab your Bible, grab your iPad, grab your phones if you need to take pictures. As I often say, as I'm talking to you, God is also speaking. So write down what it is that the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. And write it down. And I believe as you write it, it will be written on your heart. Let's go to Romans. Romans says, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. We're talking about this new thing. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Because of his Spirit, he will also, I'm sorry, let me go back. I lost my place. It's moving. I'm old, y'all. Hold on. Let's go back up. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought out about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are the children of God, then we are heirs of God. And if we are heirs, we're co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present suffering is not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. This is what I wanted to get to. For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. When you have an opportunity, I would encourage you to read the book of Romans, especially this chapter. Many times it gets meaty and so a word that's only 142 characters. Something that can be tweeted, something that can go on a meme. But the Lord gave us his full word so that we would have full knowledge of who we are as the children of God. So as we look in these pages, basically Romans is saying the whole earth is groaning, waiting for us to show up. We see death, we see despair, we see wars, we hear rumors of wars, and everybody's saying, where's God? And God said, I sent my agents, I know you're waiting for them to show up. So it's interesting to me that in this particular situation and in this particular passage, the word says the whole earth is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. In my holy imagination, I think that we were supposed to show up like the Avengers. That's Pastor Joel in the back as Hulk. I believe that we all come with our special gifts, our special abilities, our special callings from God. And when we come together, we are unstoppable. We become a holy dream team for the Lord Jesus Christ. And during this time, I really believe with all my heart that if we would simply allow God to interrupt us, allow him to get in our business, allow him to do what he needs to do, that change would enter the earth. We call out for revival, but the revival has to start with us. We cry out for his kingdom to come, and he says, I'm just waiting on you to say yes. But a lot of times we're like Steve Urkel from Family Matters. We're like, did I do that? Who, me? We feel kind of weak and lethargic. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to interrupt our lives. And it was like a resounding gong in my heart and in my mind. And so I pray that you would walk through me through this word with me to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I know you're saying, well, Pastor Nina, how can I be an avenger like you? I'm glad you asked. First of all, you have to make room for God. I know this is bumping, y'all. There we go. You have to make room for God. And the way that you make room for God is not how you may think it is. Like right now, you're like, Pastor Nina, I'm making room for God. I'm making room for him right now. I'm making room for him because I'm at service. I make room for him because I accepted him as my savior. But God wants to take us beyond just the salvation experience. He wants to take us deeper when we begin to say, yes, Jesus is my Lord. He's Lord over everything that I do. He's Lord over my mouth. He's Lord over my activities. He's Lord beyond Sunday. He's Lord on Friday night. He's Lord on Saturday morning. He's Lord of my bank account. He's Lord of my marriage. He's Lord of all. I remember when I was growing up and I finally came to know the Lord, I used to hear the saints say, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And so he wants to move us from salvation to being Lord, to being Holy Spirit led. Where the Holy Spirit is able to speak at any moment. When the Holy Spirit is able to speak to you in such a way that you go, oh, okay, Lord, I won't do that. Or when he says, get up and go to your neighbor. You get up and go to your neighbor because there's something that's going on. I love what Pastor Jeremy got up and started talking about Pentecost because God said that was one of my greatest interruptions. All Jesus told them was to wait for the presence to come, that they would receive power from on high. And in the middle of a prayer meeting, God interrupted them. God wants to interrupt us, but we got to make room for him. And you know what's crazy about it is that an omnipresent God is asking permission to come near you. He's already everywhere. Why is he asking for us to make room? Because he's a persistent gentleman. He's persistent enough to continue to pursue us, but gentleman enough to let us know that he's not going to move further than what we ask him to. He's God. And there's another level that God is requiring of us if we're to make a difference in the earth. It's no longer business as normal. It's no longer, they used to call it shucking and jiving. Those days are so slim. The kingdom is closer to, the kingdom of heaven is closer to earth than it's ever been. God is poised to move upon his people, and we're just chilling. I'm gonna take out my earring. He can be anywhere at any time, and he's waiting on us to make room for him. He knows everything but wants us to talk to him like he knows nothing. He's powerful enough to annihilate sin, but personable enough to give us a choice. How is that? This great interrupter. He's all powerful, but yet he's so gentle. He's a persistent gentlemen. Anyone who is greatly used of God will be interrupted. You name them in the Bible, they were interrupted by God. It was a new thing, and often it was a good thing, but how many of you know that an interruption is still an interruption? I had kids, and now I have a grandson, and he does not care if I'm in the restroom. He's, Nana, 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 are you in there? Hands under the... And in my heart, I'm like, oh, that's my grandson. And I'm like, it's an interruption. How many of you guys have some interrupters in your life? Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Okay, all right, I'm in the right place. But you know, God has a way of getting our attention. And as he's calling us to this place where we understand that he wants to do a new thing, but he's going to interrupt us in the process of that, I'm reminded of the disciples. The disciples back in the day were another Avenger team. All right, you had James, you had John, you know, they were kind of crazy. You had Peter, who is my boy. Because Peter was crazy. Have you ever had a friend that talks a lot, but then when it comes down to really getting down to business, they're nowhere to be found? That's Peter. Either that or he's the one that pulls the fire alarm and then runs away. But Peter's my guy. And I love Peter because Jesus called him to follow him. And so if you can imagine in your mind with me, Jesus calls Peter. Peter walks along with Jesus, following him. After a while, Jesus begins to walk with Peter and Peter with Jesus. And when Peter begins to walk with Jesus, then Jesus begins to give him a download. You know, blessed are peacemakers, blah, 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 blah. He gives him all this information. And then it comes a day when Jesus says, I'm just going to read it for you. Simon, Simon, which was Peter's name, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And it's Peter, because he's a ride or die. Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answers, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. In other words, Jesus says to Peter, there's an interruption coming. And it's going to be a test of your faith. And I prayed for you, and Jesus is always interceding for us, even to this very moment. I prayed for you. You're going to be all right. And when you come through this, turn and strengthen somebody else and bring them with you. So here we are in a situation where God says, I'm going to do a new thing, but there's going to be an interruption. And this new thing is going to take place because of the interruption that I'm going to do. And so as I was praying about this sermon and what God would have me to say to you, he says, some of you are being sifted even now as I speak. God said, tell them you're going to make it. God said, tell them they're going to make it. Tell them this is part of the new thing that I'm doing. Because as Peter was sifted, let me tell you what happened. He moved from being selfish to selfless. When I was a little girl, my grandmother would make cake and she would use this sifter. Now see, I don't have a sifter because I don't bake, but that's another story. I was like, what's that? She had this sifter and you would sift the flour. And something that was already fine became finer because it was sifted. So even if you say, well, I've already been sifted, you may be sifted again. But every time it happens so that you're refined for the use of the master. There's an end result to the sifting. So be encouraged. God said you're going to make it. And when you make it, go back and strengthen somebody else. God has a plan for this sifting experience that he wants to do. And as he does what he does, And as he does it well, you're going to realize how much baggage you left behind during the sift. If you want to do great things for God, you will be sifted greatly. Your life will be interrupted in ways that you didn't even think. And so Peter went from being an outcast to being restored. And the conversation goes in John 21 that as he's sitting there and he's talking with his friend, and Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And each time Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." In other words, take care of those that can't take care of themselves. Peter, this thing is bigger than you. That's why the next point is make room for company. Now, everybody knows that they don't stop by my house unannounced. You better call me and let me know you're on your way. Don't just show up. That's an interruption. But back in the day, especially before cell phones, it was commonplace for people to just show up at your house. I mean, not only would they show up, those folks would stay for dinner. Now, they might be out of luck if they show up to my house because I'm not cooking. But they would just show up, "Hey, girl, I was in the neighborhood," you know, stuff like that. Don't do that to me. But if you're going to receive the new thing that God has for you, you're going to be interrupted with company, unexpected company. I heard the Lord say, tell them that the cliques that they're in crowd out the company that he wants to bring. They're comfortable. You don't have to, you can do all different kinds of stuff, belch around them, you know. You don't have to be polite. So it's a comfortable clique. Even the disciples they were kind of cliquish. They like to roll with one another. But God said, in this day and in this hour, if we're going to cover a lot of ground, we need more than just a few. So you got to move away from your clique. We're all on the same team. In Luke, this is what the disciples said. I think it's funny. John said, "Master, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he is not one of us." And Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for whoever is not against us and whoever is not against you is for you." Jesus said, don't stop them from doing what they're doing because they're not against us. And in this season and in this hour, as God is interrupting your clique, as God is interrupting maybe your quietness, he's going to bring somebody along that needs a journey with you, that needs to walk with you. And I'm overwhelmed by that because sometimes, you know, being a pastor, I think that I have become an introverted extrovert. That I love my quiet times now. I just want to be quiet. I know my husband is happy about that. Like, praise the Lord. 22 years of loudness. Now all of a sudden she wants to be an introvert. But I just like being to myself. And then all of a sudden somebody comes around. I think it was last week, the week before, I went into a store and I was shopping. I had my shades on, y'all. Because the pastors, we have a joke that we can go nowhere without New Life. Pastor Joe was on an airplane one time and a New Lifer was like, "Pastor Joe!" So we can go nowhere without New Life. So anyway, so I go to a grocery store, a fashion store, because I like new things. And so I go in there, and I'm in there looking around and stuff, and I hear somebody say, "Pastor Nina!" I was like, "This is where you shop? I bet you run into people all the time." I was like, I sure do. And we ended up having a conversation, but I'm saying that to say that God will interrupt you. You just got to know that he's going to bring company even when you don't want it, even when it's unexpected. And I know the world says that you get to pick and choose, but in the kingdom, you can't pick and choose. If there are believers in here, everyone who's a believer is your relative. I know I just scared you, but it'd be okay. Everybody in here is your relative that goes there at Ghent. Those are your relatives. Video Cafe, those are your relatives. Borrow money from them if you need to. They're your relatives. We family. Can I get a dollar? That's what friends are for, and family. But we're family. And our family should be increasing. In Romans, in that same chapter, it talks about that we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We've been adopted in. We've been adopted in. Have you ever seen a family where somebody's been married in and they act more extra about the family? And then you're like, you just married in here. You're not even a real Williams or whatever. You was adopted in. We were all adopted in, unless we're of Jewish descent. And so we can't be selfish about our family. We got to be willing to call more people in. I want to tell you about a story in the book of Ruth. I love the book of Ruth. If you've never read the book of Ruth, it's an amazing story about a lady named Naomi and her daughter-in-law named Ruth. And as I always say about the Bible, it's better than Scandal, better than This Is Us, better than, okay, well, yeah, it's better than This Is Us. Better than Empire, better than Have and Have Nots. It's just better. I heard somebody say, I don't know about that, Pastor Nita. Read your word. But Naomi was what I would say a blessed woman. She had two sons and two daughter-in-laws. She had a husband. They had moved to Moabite area, and her sons married Moabite women. And lo and behold, death struck her home, killed her husband, killed both of her sons. And it was just a time of weariness for her. So in this particular situation, Naomi went from being a have to being a have not. And Ruth is just a little itty bitty story. It's got about four chapters, but it goes somewhere very quickly. And so it lays out that Naomi had a very, very hard time in the transition and decided to go back to Bethlehem because she could not take care of her daughters-in-law. She didn't have any more sons. She didn't have any way to provide for them. It's interesting what God will require from you when you think you have nothing. It's interesting what God will require from you when you have nothing. I wrote this down. Naomi was much older and weary. She was a widow whose prime had passed, or so she thought. She used to be full of life, well off, with a beautiful family. But now she was empty. In the midst of a have-not season, Naomi attempted to send these ladies away because she thought that she could not provide for them. Have you ever been so broke, busted, and disgusted that you didn't want to talk to anybody? I mean, just had an attitude because you have nothing but lint in your pocket. Don't talk to me. I can't. Waiting on the payday to come. Waiting on the student loans to be paid off. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah. I heard that, Joel, in the front row. But here she was, and she was really trying to get rid of her daughter-in-laws. I can't do it. I can barely feed myself. I'm not feeding you. You grown, going about your business. That's just my way of saying it. But seriously, she was really struggling. And it's interesting because Ruth refused to leave Naomi. And these are the words that Ruth said to her. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. And your people will be my people and your God, my God. I thought that was interesting that even in the midst of great turmoil and disappointment, people still know when God is with you. People still know when God is with you. You're like, I have nothing but lint in my pocket. They're like, but you know God. And I've seen him feed you, and I've seen him clothe you, and I've seen him heal your body. And the God that you know is the God that I want to know. I want your God to be my God. We're in the process of this Love One initiative, and I was so glad because I got to see my loved one yesterday. Her name is Jasmine. And for those of you who don't know what Love One is that it is an initiative where New Life has committed to walking for a year with someone and discipling them in the ways of the Lord. And so my loved one, I got to see her yesterday. I met her at a restaurant. And for a moment, she had left the restaurant, and I was really concerned because, you know, I didn't want to be a stalker and, like, roll up stealth on her somewhere else. But I felt the Lord say she'll be back. And so I went to go get some, you know, noodles because I like new things. And she was there. And I said, okay, well, let's catch up later. And every time we talk, I said, well, I just got done preaching and blah, blah, blah. And then she started referring to things that she had done when, you know, when they were little girls and went to church and things like that. That moment, I was reminded of Ruth and Naomi. Your God will be my God. When we allow God to interrupt us with company, there is an opportunity for our God to become their God. And it may cost money, it may cost time, it may cause discomfort, but I figure if Jesus could hang on a cross for a while, we can surely spend some time with someone else. It's important. It's important. Do you know that the company that God will interrupt you with, some of them will need you, but some of you will need them. Keep that in your heart, lest you think that every person that's interrupting you, you're supposed to rescue them. They may be coming to rescue you. They may be coming to teach you some things that you don't know. To stretch, you say stretch. Let's move on. Last night after service, I was sitting down. I was talking to my niece, and one of her friends had come over, and Shayla was telling me about the friend before she got there. And as she was talking, I had a vision, and so I told Shayla what I saw. And Shayla said, well, she's going to come over. And I said, okay, well, when she comes over, I'll tell her what I saw. And so she came over, and this young lady has just graduated. She lost her mother the week before she graduated high school. And so I began to talk to her and tell her what the Lord said. And she sat there, and I saw her posture begin to relax as she put her foot under another and crossed her legs. And then she said to me, how do you hear God? And I was like, I'm so glad you asked. Well, it all started when I was two, and when you're interrupted, get excited because God has you on assignment. There's a song when I was little we used to sing called, if you could use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. We sing that, and then when he taps on our shoulder, we're like, use them. Use Joel. Use Pastor Jeremy. But God wants to use you. So like this young lady who was grieving, Naomi was grieving. And a lot of times when we're in grief, we feel like God can't use us. We want to be left alone. We're in mourning. God, don't bother me. I'm in mourning. I just got a divorce. God, don't bother me. I just broke up with my girlfriend. Don't bother me. I'm on my way to the mall. Don't bother me, because I like new things. But people are groaning and searching for the children of God that are willing to be bothered, that are willing to follow God to places that they had never, ever thought of. Refugee camps, like what Pastor Brian is doing, ministering to those who are lost and hurt. Naomi was grieving, not just the loss of her husband, but of her entire life. But little did she know that wrapped in her sorrow and wrapped in her inconvenience and wrapped in this interruption called Ruth was a blessing. You all know the story. They get to Bethlehem. Naomi rolls up. Her friends and her old crew, they come out and say, Naomi, oh my goodness, it's you, girl. How you doing? What's going on? Naomi says, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because I'm bitter. And I'm bitter because I went away full and I've come back empty. I was a have and now I'm a have not. Don't talk to me because I'm bitter. But while she was complaining about her bitterness, Ruth was out there working in the fields. And while she was in the fields, she runs into Boaz. Y'all know Boaz. Some of y'all praying for y'all Boaz right now. Y'all need to stop. Some of y'all praying for y'all Boaz. Y'all just need to be in the field working. Because as you begin to take care of God's business, he'll take care of you. He'll begin to take care of you. Well, you know the story. Boaz, that was his field. And as I like to say, if God owned a cattle on 1,000 hills, Boaz owned 2 of those. He was rich, he was wealthy, and he was loving, and he was kind. She married him, and what happened? They had a child. They had a child named Obed. Obed had Jesse. Jesse had David, the great, 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 great grandfather, many greats of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Her sorrow could have kept her from seeing the divine interruption that God had made for her. Be careful what you do during a drought. Be careful what you do when you're weary. Don't do life alone. Some of you are loners. Stop it. Somebody else has what you need. A perceived burden may be a hidden blessing. I'll say that again. A perceived burden may be a hidden blessing. Don't wait until you have enough to help someone. Naomi, another life interrupted. But lastly, I'd like to tell you, not only do you make room for God, not only do you make room for others, but make room for unexpected results. Make room for unexpected results. As you can see, the new thing will have unexpected changes. You saw it in the life of Peter. You saw it in the life of Naomi. If I had time, I would talk about Abraham and Sarah and their unexpected baby. I'd talk about Joseph, who married a woman who was expecting the Messiah. I would talk about Moses and David, and all the ones who were used mightily of God, but had unexpected experiences. And I believe we will be like them. All were interrupted by God to do great things. But the greatest story of all, in my opinion, and probably in yours as well, would have to be Jesus, who left heaven, came down to earth to bridge the gap between God and man. His whole entire agenda was interrupted. I can hear Jesus now saying, Father, I'll go down and take care of them. Prepare me a body. Prepare me a body. I'll go down. I'll live this life out in the flesh so that they see that it's able to be done. And here we are, we're Christians. We're to be like Christ. Philippians 2 says it like this: in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. God is the greatest interrupter. And I hear him saying, if I interrupted my son when he was sitting in glory, I will very well interrupt you. And if I interrupted my son and he went through some sorrow and suffering, why can I not do the same with you? If I interrupted the Hall of Faith people, Moses and all of them, Deborah, you just name all of the greats in the Bible. If I interrupted them, I'm going to interrupt you. Are you willing to be interrupted? As we come to a close, I believe that God wants to equip us to walk with those who are weary and downtrodden. I believe that this Disciple You seminar that's coming up tonight and for the next 4 weeks is important because it equips us for the interruption. It prepares us for what it is that God wants to do in us and in others. I'm going to pray for you. And then Pastor Jeremy's going to come and share with you how you can be a part of Disciple You. Get prepared for the interruption. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for each and every person in this room. God, we thank you, Lord God, that you are the greatest interrupter. That God, when you come with a new thing, but you come to interrupt the status quo. You come to interrupt the comforts of our lives so that we will be prepared and equipped to make room for you, to make room for others, and to make room for the unexpected. God, I thank you so much for the harvest that's coming, for the new thing that you're doing. God, I pray that you would be glorified in this season of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Jeremy, would you come?